It's Friday, August 13th, 2010. This is Wendy Erickson. I'm a reference librarian at the Parchment Community Library. And this morning, we are talking with Vaughn Baber. Vaughn, if you would, please tell us how you got started at KVP and what your experiences were.
Well, Wendy, I guess I got to be sort of like a traveler back in time. I got to go back to 1954 when I got out of the Korean thing, and my wife was, let's see, she was 7 months pregnant. Our first child was about to be born in August, and I was looking for my first job since I had graduated at Western Michigan in 52. Immediately drafted into the Korean War, discharged in June of 1954, and applied at KVP for a job. And I was anxious because my wife being pregnant, and I needed a job to support my wife and new child. And the sales manager who I applied to gave me a position in the sales training portion of the company. And for 1 year, I was in the sales training where they teach you all the properties of the different papers. And then at the end of a year, they send you into a sales territory. And I guess it was about maybe after 6 months of training, learning the papers, they send you into a territory not to be the representative, but to be trained in selling. And they sent me to Bay City, and my task was to sell a new product, which was dusting tissue, which is a paper that's sold to households to dust furniture and so on. It's a very light basis weight paper, almost a tissue, impregnated with furniture oil, and in a cutter box. The housewife cuts off maybe about a foot of the tissue and then wipes or polishes the furniture, dusts the furniture, and the tissue takes the dust and you can dispose it. Mm-hmm. And it was a very nice product. So they sent me to Bay City with a case of maybe about two cases of dusting tissue. Mm-hmm. And my job was to go up and down the streets of Bay City calling on, in those days, that 54, there was a independent hardware store, grocery store, drug store. This was before Myers Thrifty Acres put all those kind of places out of business. So there were many places to call on and sell this product. But I had never sold before, and I was kind of anxious. I remember looking back as a young man, never having had sales experience, trying to get up courage to make the first call. You know?
Sure.
And, I circled around the block several times trying to get up courage. Finally, I decided, well, I've got to either do it, I'm going to be a salesman, or I'm not going to be a salesman. And so I went in this store, I think it was a hardware store. I had a roll of the dusting tissue. And I didn't know what to say, but then I noticed this cash register. The owner of the store was behind the cash register. It was an old NCR, brass, and of course in those days, stores had cash registers like that. And I noticed that this cash register was dusty, dust all over it. And I thought, well, if I can demonstrate this product, what a perfect place to demonstrate it. So I went over and I said, sir? I said, I'm with a KBP company out of Kalamazoo. We got this new product. Let me display it to you, or demonstrate it to you. And he said, okay, what does it do? I said, let me show you what it does on this cash register. And I dusted the cash. Of course, nowadays, if you did that, they'd call the police. But he said, go ahead and do it. And so I got it gleaming, you know, the brass and that furniture oil. He said, I'll take two cases. And that gave me the courage, you know. I was,
sure.
I said, well, I'll just look for cash registers. And I kept going down the streets of Bay City, calling on all the retailers, and almost every place they would buy a case, you know. Mm-hmm. And when the company saw the job I did, they sent me to New York City.
I see.
And my wife and I had never been in New York City. That was quite an experience. It was 1955 we went out there. We lived in New Jersey. And I called on all the big chains like W.T. Grant, Woolworth. In fact, at that time, 10% of the purchases of America, the whole country, was done in New York City. One out of every $10 is purchases was done in New York City.
See.
So I was calling on the biggest chains in the country. And we lived out there 6 years. And it was a great place. But the old saying is true about New York City. It's a great place to visit, but you wouldn't want to live there, you know. It was
too big?
You're away from
too
your family.
Much. Sure.
And one day I got a telephone call, and it was my father died suddenly at 51.
Oh.
My mother was a widow, and we realized that seeing her once a year, you know, was not enough. So I went into the office and I said, I want to be transferred back to Kalamazoo. And I remember the office manager said, why, that's like being sent to the minors. Strangely enough, that same New York manager, 5 years later, came to Kalamazoo, and he would never go back to New York. He loved Kalamazoo so much.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's true. New York City is a fabulous city. But, you know, it's not a friendly city.
Mm.
People are rude, they're pushy.
Uh-huh.
When you get to know people, people are people everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But people, you know, living in Kalamazoo is not living in New York City.
Sure, sure.
So
did you have big clients in New York to call on?
Oh, yes. I called, like I say, the chains.
Yes. Do you have a lot of success?
Wholesale merchants. I had, my territory was the five boroughs, Long Island, Northern New Jersey, Rockland County. Covered that whole area.
Oh my. And you did that for how long?
6 years.
6 years. Mm-hmm. So were you immediately sent, when you asked for the transfer, could you go back then, or did you have to wait?
I'm sorry, I didn't.
You know, you said your father died, and you asked for a transfer.
Mm-hmm.
Had you already been there 5 or 6 years?
Yes,
or?
6 years at
six
that
years.
Time.
Okay.
And then it took another six. I said, I want to be transferred within a year. If no territory, you know, I wanted to come back into the Michigan Territory.
Yes.
And I said, if I can't go into the Michigan Territory, I'll just leave the company.
Oh.
Well, the Michigan salesman retired. John Schlick was his name.
Mm-hmm.
He was the former Michigan sales rep, and just fortunately for me,
yes.
He retired at that time, and I was able to move back to Kalamazoo. And we moved to Grand Rapids. Mm-hmm. This was about the time that the company was going through a lot of changes. KVP Sutherland came together, then Brown Company, a number of mergers.
Yes.
And you could see a big change in the company, because mainly brought about because KVP, most of the business of KVP was food protection papers.
Yes.
They were made millions of dollars of profit. They're very profitable mills.
Yes.
At the time when bread was wrapped in wax paper, mm-hmm. meat was wrapped in paper, butcher paper.
Right.
Almost all food was paper.
Yes.
Packaging.
Right.
And then cellophane, the films came in.
Yes,
and
that's
knocked
right.
us out of all our markets.
Ah.
And caused problems for the company. And I remember at sales meetings where the salesmen were saying, Dwight Stocker was the president at that time, and I recalled salesmen saying, get us into the film business or we're going to lose our business. We're going to lose our markets.
Oh, yes.
And the company at that time had millions of dollars in the bank. And unfortunately, the people that took us over got that money out of the bank. And it's a sad story. KVP should be much even big today if they had made the right moves.
Ah.
If they had transferred from paper to film, for example.
Yes, yes. Did you cover the whole state as a sales rep? Were you the only rep in Michigan?
No.
Okay.
When I came back, I had the Michigan territory, which was the western half of Michigan territory. We had a man in the eastern half, Detroit, in the eastern
yes.
part of the state.
Yes.
I had the western part of the state.
So you traveled a lot.
Right. And then shortly after I came back, we lived in Grand Rapids for 2 years, and then my territory was changing from West Michigan to East Michigan.
Oh.
And we moved to Howell, Michigan.
Sure.
And we lived there, I think, 5 years. Our children went through school there. They're going to be elementary school.
Yes.
And my daughter graduated from high school there. Then we moved back to Kalamazoo.
Oh.
And then after 25 years, I was told that I'd have to come in off the road inside.
When was this? You know, what year was this?
This would have been 1979.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I had been with the company 25 years at that time. I started with 50 and 54.
Right.
In 1979, I was told that they were changing again, and I would have to come in to an interior sales position. And when I looked at the job, well, you know, after having been a traveling sales rep.
Yes.
And coming into a portion of the company that had a lot of problems, I worked for about 2 weeks and saw the problems of that particular position.
Oh.
I didn't like it. And about 2 years prior to this, I'd opened an old book business.
Yes.
Which my wife ran.
Oh.
And it had promising potential.
Yes.
We were starting to sell books, making some money.
Are you is it this location?
Right. No, at that time, we were on North Rose Street.
I see.
I decided, instead of staying with the company in that new position, even though, you know, you lose a lot of things. You lose all your medical benefits, most of your pension.
Sure.
And when you're 50 years old and you're cutting the umbilical cord.
Sure.
That's quite a position.
Yes.
Or quite a something to have to decide to do.
Yes.
but my wife and I talked about it, and we said, well, rather than be in a position that you didn't care for, you might have a heart attack just going through all the problems, you know.
Sure.
That can cause an effect on your health even.
Uh-huh. Right?
The company was going through a lot of problems, and
right.
I didn't like the looks of the job, so we decided to leave the company, which I did in 1979.
I see. Do you have, I imagine you have lots of memories of friends that you made at
the
company?
Oh, the old KVP company, before the merger with KVP Sutherland, was, they were the group of people that worked with KVP, in my opinion, were just some of the greatest people that I've known.
You yes.
know. Jake Kindleberger, the founder of that company, was an outstanding, almost a Henry Ford type.
Uh-huh.
I would have loved to have met him. He died in 1947.
Right.
But I've heard many stories about him, and the people that he hired were top caliber people.
Mm-hmm.
KVP was a wonderful company, and you were proud to have represented them. You know, I remember when I was in New York City, you know, when you sent your card in, people respected you because you represented a company that was respected.
The reputation
and the company
was strong.
Meant a lot.
You know? Uh-huh.
I remember one incident in Brooklyn one time. I guess it was in the latter 1950s. I sent my card in. This was a large wholesale paper merchant in Brooklyn, and my card, of course, said KVP Company. And the man sent me in. He says he told the girl to send me in, and I went in. He was sitting behind the desk looking at the card. He said, "Young man," he had sort of a Yiddish accent, you know. He said, "Young man, what does this KVP stand for?" And I said, "Kelms of Vegetable Parchment." He said, "I thought it stood for clean white paper."
So you had a little salesman job to do on him about the company. Sure, sure, sure. And so you guys had, like, I'm interested in the sales meetings. Would you have annual meetings?
Oh, yes.
Come back to Kalamazoo
right.
for?
Right, people from all over the country came back. And I, as I was telling you, that, you know, at these sales meetings, they were demanding to get us into film rather
yes,
than
cellophane.
The result.
Yes,
right.
Cellophane, yeah, yeah.
But these were annual meetings, and the salesmen from all over the country came in, and they were outstanding men.
And where would you have the meeting?
In Parchment.
At the mill? Somewhere in the mill?
Actually,
or?
You know, I'm trying to think what that building was. Was it?
The community
you know,
house
they were almost
was
like,
down by then,
I
wasn't
might,
it?
I might say it was right downtown Parchment.
Downtown? Was it?
On
it
the
wasn't
north. On the
north.
Let's see, on the east side of the street.
Oh.
I'm forgetting what the name of the. I was only in Kalamazoo about a year before I moved there. But, you know, the old sales meetings were almost like prayer meetings, you know.
Were they?
Kindleberger was very devout.
Yes.
You know. And it may have been in the church.
Oh.
I'm not sure of that.
I see.
But, you know, that was a big part of Kindleberger's life. He was an outstanding public speaker. He he traveled, renowned for his speeches.
Yes, yes.
And quite a philosopher. In fact, they had, have you ever heard of the KVP Philosopher?
It's a yes.
magazine that
yes.
was sent out.
We have some at the library.
And he was quite a philosopher.
Yeah.
And very, as I say, very devout. And I'm sure you've seen the old calendars with the philosophical side and on one side.
Yes.
You know, things like, well, remember some of the sayings.
I saw we just had some done for the reunion. We made little magnets out of some of those, and they went like hotcakes. We gave them away as keepsakes.
Right, they were fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, the, what is it about the Indian, where you don't know, I should be able to recite it. You have to walk in my shoes, you know.
Oh, sure. And walk a mile in my shoes.
Right, and then if fate hands you a lemon, squeeze it and make a lemonade stand.
Yes, yeah.
And then there was one, I remember it showed a Kentucky moonshiner sitting on the side of a mountain, or no, in jail. And the saying was, jug not that ye be not jugged.
Yeah, a lot of those. We've got a lot of those at the library.
And I have seen offices, wholesale paper offices that were wallpapered with these sayings.
Have you?
The whole room was wallpapered with the philosophical sayings and calendars.
Yes. So did you sell everything?
When I came back to Michigan, I did.
In
New York City, I was in household papers.
I see.
Christmas gift wrap was the big thing. That we, you know, with this,
was it?
We had a 75-foot roll of Christmas gift wrap. I still remember the dimensions. 20 inches by 75 feet. And it was, we sold carloads of that.
You
did. W.T. Grant and Woolworth and
people actually bought 75-foot rolls of Christmas wrap.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my.
All one design. You cut it off and wrap the gift. And, it was a fabulous item. The dusting tissue, if it had been promoted, could have had a potentially big market, too.
Yes.
But the household papers is what I sold in New York City.
And so, when you came
and
back here...
And when I came back to Michigan, I handled other products, you know, which were mostly what we call stock products.
Oh, like
butcher paper and sandwich wrap.
Yes.
Paper coffee cups.
Uh-huh.
Paper plates.
Did they ever at the sales meetings ask for input from the salesman about the products? For example, a customer may have said, you know, I'd buy a bunch of these if they were something, or you could improve this by doing something. Were the sales meetings...
They reacted to customer
comments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you guys would pass those along.
Oh, yes, right. That was the purpose of the sales meeting. We were like, you know, we had to listen to our customers and react to our customers.
Okay.
And that's why you recall that the president of the company made the comment that, you know, we weren't going to convert from paper to film because our idea, or our object, was to cut trees and make paper. That's not right. We should respond to our customer's demand. When it's going from paper to film, and we tell you to get us into film, the first thing is to react to your customer.
I see.
And don't just sell paper, but we better get into film, right?
Yes.
The customer's king. Mm-hmm. And if he wants film, you better get into film. We had the money to get into film.
Uh-huh.
Too bad we didn't.
Okay, I see. I see. Did they have outside speakers come into the sales meetings at all? You know, to do any kind of more motivational things or training?
A couple times. They, They advertised, remember Charles Adams, the cartoonist?
Yes, yes.
He didn't come into our sales meetings, but we used him to illustrate, you know, to in our advertising and magazines and so on.
He did cartoons
on KVP products.
They did?
Right.
Oh.
In fact, if you dug around, you could probably find old magazines with some of those ads.
Sure, mm-hmm. Sure. I didn't realize, I've seen some, but I didn't realize that was him.
Right, they didn't spend a lot of money on advertising, really, or they did have, occasionally, they had some speakers, but not major speakers that I recall.
A lot of this was internally driven then, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The company, they really didn't have a lot of, they were good at what they were doing, didn't have a lot of need, would you say, for outside people to come in and crank you up.
No, I guess that's right.
Yeah, the company had a very good reputation, was doing well.
It was called the World's Model Paper Mill.
Yes.
I don't know who coined that phrase, but it certainly was a model paper company. Very
yes.
clean, unusually clean.
Mm-hmm.
Kindleberger was very big on that. He would walk through the mill. And, you know, you've heard the stories about the town was he watched over the lawns of the people. It was a company town.
It was.
And Kindleberger, I wish I could have met him. He must have been an unusual man.
Yes. He spun off a lot of local, he and his wife donated all the acreage for Kindleberger Park.
Mm-hmm.
He had a boys and girls program for teenagers to do odd jobs around town that they got paid for to keep the kids busy during the 30s, I think. And then there was the community house. Yeah. All the programs run out of the community house.
Now, how many children did he have? He had two children? Or you know the story of that? I know he had a son. I don't think the son was ever involved with the business.
I want to say three, but I could be wrong about that.
I don't know the history of his family and whether they're family members living today.
Yeah,
Did any of them come to the reunion?
No.
That's unfortunate. Because there's a lot of history there if they're living.
Oh, which we would love to have. Mm-hmm. We'd love to have it. Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm sorry you missed the reunion, but we'll do it again next year. We'll do it again. Yeah, this time in the park, we think.
Oh, yeah.
Because we had such a fabulous turnout.
How many people came out?
Way over 300.
Wow, isn't it?
We were expecting 100 or so.
Well, do you realize how many people worked for KVP at one time? It was a fantastic number.
Yeah, in the thousands.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. And many families were dependent on that company, and it was such a sad story to look at those buildings today.
Yes.
You know, it just tears your heart.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure it would. Uncle Jake, he loved that company so much.
You bet.
And if the right moves had been made, that shouldn't be that way. Maybe it wouldn't have been as much paper. They could be in other areas, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, making money in film, they could have gotten into faster machines. Of course, there are other factors, too, that influence the demise of the mill. We're too far away from the pulp, you know.
True.
The northeast and the south, no, the northwest.
Northwest.
And the southeast. And Canada.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to transport pulp that far. Here
That's
in
right.
Kalamazoo, yeah.
That's right.
It would be difficult, so.
That's right. Did you know anything about, speaking of Canada, the Espanola Mill?
Oh, yes.
Were you up there?
We had a sales meeting up there once.
You did?
All I recall is the smell of that sulfur in the air. Have you ever been?
Yes.
Have you ever been around a pulp mill and smelled the smell of
I was raised in Escanaba, and the Mead Corporation has a mill there.
Okay, you know that smell.
Yes, I do.
It'd be tough. I don't know if today they allow that even, but I remember the sulfur smell in the air really stink.
Yeah, it does have a very strong odor that you eventually have to get used to, I think.
Right. They
somehow.
They had cutting rights and a pulp mill in Espanola. We went, I guess it was 1954, we went up there.
Yes. Yes. Well, Vaughn, can you just give me some more biographical information about you? What is your wife's name?
Arlene.
Arlene, and your children?
Michael and Lynette.
Okay, and they live in town here, or they live away?
They live in Kalamazoo.
Yes.
My son is in the business. We have an old book business. We buy and sell old books.
Yes.
We opened in 1959 when I left. Actually, we opened in 1975. That's why we call it the Bicentennial Bookshop. Because in 1975, that was a magic word. You
it
know,
was.
Everybody was talking
in
about
the culture.
The Bicentennial.
Absolutely.
By 1976, the Bicentennial year, it was a cliche, and people
yes.
didn't even go to Philadelphia.
Sure, sure.
But we've had that business since 1975. My son is in the business. He's the computer whiz. Most of our business is through the mail. We ship books all over the world.
You do.
We buy and sell old books, old magazines.
Yes.
Old postcards.
Have you an internet presence, a website?
We don't have our own website, but we sell on bookseller websites.
Sure, sure.
And my daughter works at Stewart & Clark Furniture Company.
And her name again?
Lynette.
Lynette. Okay, have you grandchildren?
We have two children and they're both grand.
That's well put. That's well put.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Vaughn, I want to thank you for your time this morning. It's been very interesting to talk with you.
Okay. Now remember, I get the